We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bernie Sanders looks to be in command when it comes to the California primary. New polling shows him with a whopping 18-point lead over Joe Biden, the former vice president, finding himself grouped closely together with Warren, Buttigieg, and Bloomberg for more or less second to third place. And if Bernie does win California and performs well in other Super Tuesday states, does he wrap things up? Does he wrap up that nomination?
Well, it's a good question. But, you know, as you know, Michael Bloomberg, Mike, as he's referred to in his commercials, Mike Bloomberg, is working awfully hard to make sure that that scenario that you just painted doesn't happen. Mike Madrid is a longtime political strategist and partner in the Sacramento-based firm Grassroots Lab. Previously, he served as the political director of the California Republican Party. So, Mike, if you're President Trump, do you want to run against Michael Bloomberg, or Mike Bloomberg, as his friends call him, or Bernie Sanders?
Well, there's no question that Donald Trump wants to run against Bernie Sanders. You're already starting to see him message and goad him into the race. I think that the demographic profile of each candidate, both Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders, position themselves with the best candidate for Donald Trump being Bernie Sanders coming out of the Democratic primary.
So you think that leads to some fears in the non-Bernie people? If they know that as well as you do, that Mr. Trump seems to want to run against Sanders, then I don't want what he wants, right? So I want Bloomberg to be in there.
That's exactly right. And I think what's happening is as the Democratic field starts to to consolidate behind Bernie Sanders, you're starting to see kind of the same dynamic that happened with Donald Trump in the Republican primary back in 2016. That is, there's a very hard ceiling and a very hard floor of support that sits around the mid-30s level. The rest, which is a majority of Democrats, are kind of split between the non-Bernie alternatives. And the question will be, can they figure out which person should be occupying that lane before it's too late? And that was the problem with Republicans in 2016. They just couldn't get it together. Was it Ted Cruz? Was it Marco Rubio? Was it John Kasich? Was it, a whole host of, 10 other different candidates? Democrats find themselves in an identical spot, and the question will be, can they figure out that dilemma before it is too late?
You know, I just realized that we're talking so much, and we've been doing that in the past few days in the show, about Bloomberg and Bernie and Pete Buttigieg, and I noticed that we're not really talking much at all now about Joe Biden. Is he like, last year's fruitcake or something? I mean, nobody wants to talk about the guy now.
It seems that both Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren's campaigns could not find a message after Iowa. And then with both getting dismal results in New Hampshire, neither of them got any delegates out of New Hampshire. It becomes increasingly difficult for people to demonstrate their electoral viability when they're not winning in states where they should be doing at least halfway decent. So I don't know what the message is. As a campaign strategist, as a political professional, it's sometimes fun to just kind of say, how would I be positioning this campaign or that one? Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden do seem to be a little bit of yesterday's news. It's just not something they're going to be able to say at this point in the election cycle that's going to resuscitate those campaigns.
How do you think I'm feeling if I'm on the Sanders team? Because all the headlines prior to the debate tonight is everybody going, ooh, everyone's going to attack Bloomberg because it's his first night there on the stage. But if I'm Sanders, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to go after him, but I'm in the great first place position pretty good, and I'm in the good position to win the nomination. So I'm feeling great right now because they're going to attack this other guy.
Well, that's exactly right. And again, I think what's happening is Bernie Sanders is going to start, training his fire on probably Donald Trump. I think that will be the person that he attacks the most, while the others either aim their fire on Bloomberg or him. What Bernie ought to do tactically now is start running towards a general election strategy and position himself against Donald Trump and essentially ignore the rest of the field. At this point, again, in the election cycle, when you see this big of a leap in two rounds of polling, you are seeing the Democratic base consolidate behind Bernie Sanders. If these numbers hold or are even close, it's going to be extremely difficult for another challenger to catch up to where he's going to be in the delegate count. There is one other interesting aspect to this, and that is because of the proportional nature of Democratic primary contests, meaning that Republicans have winner takes all. Whoever got the highest amount, whether it was just a plurality or a majority, you get all of the delegates of that state. Democrats are the exact opposite. They apportion theirs proportionally based on the percent that you get of the electorate. It's extremely difficult to get a majority of the votes going into the Democratic convention. And while it's a little bit complicated, it's very important for listeners to understand because it may end up being a very long, drawn-out fight. Even though it's clear Bernie will have the most delegates, he will not have a majority. And if everybody stays in, it will force a floor fight at the convention in Milwaukee later in the summer.
So let me ask you something quickly, Mike. Let's go back to the days of, smoke-filled rooms where party leaders would pretty much pick who the candidate was going to be. And let's say for the moment you are on the Democratic side. So you're looking out at this, you know, this list of potential candidates. You have the option in that smoke-filled back room to pick the candidate that you really think is going to beat Donald Trump. Which one do you pick?
Well, if you go by simple numbers and math and polling, which I do for a living, you pick Joe Biden. The same polling that is coming out that is showing Sanders getting stronger shows that Joe Biden beats Donald Trump by the widest margin nationally. They also show Bernie Sanders at the same at parity with Donald Trump and sometimes even losing to him. So you are seeing a little bit of a dichotomy in the Democratic base that was struggling earlier saying, we want somebody who can beat Donald Trump first and foremost. There seems to be a movement away from that where people are saying, you know what, I'm going to vote for the candidate that best represents my ideas and my ideals and where I'm feeling and where I'm at, and that's Bernie Sanders. So to answer your question directly, Bernie Sanders is not the strongest candidate at this point in time against Donald Trump. He's probably one of the weakest, but he best represents where the Democrats and mainstream Democrats are moving, and that's why his numbers are moving up.
Mike Madrid, longtime political strategist, partner in the Sacramento-based firm Grassroots Lab.